From KUOW, 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. According to a 2012 study by the Federal Centers for Disease Control, Washington State had the seventh highest rate of home births in the country. Home births have been on the rise since 2004, but as of 2009, they still represent less than 1% of total births in the United States. Maybe you've thought about giving birth at home or at a birth center, or maybe you're weighing your options and you feel safer giving birth in a hospital. Today, some information that might help you decide. We're talking about the pros and cons of home births versus hospital births. What can each offer that the other cannot? Home births are on the rise, as I said, and the studies show that they might be able to reduce the number of C-sections. We're going to talk today about that with our two guests who have a lot of knowledge about this. Valerie Sasson is the president of the Midwives Association of Washington State. Dr. Joy Zia specializes in obstetrics and gynecology at Swedish Hospital's OBGYN Center in Ballard. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thanks for having us, Roth.
So, Valerie, let's start with you. What are some of the advantages of giving birth at home or at a birthing center? And then what are some of the disadvantages?
I'm so happy to be here. I hope that I restrain myself. I feel like I have a lot I want to say to you. And I hope I fairly represent my clients who are all looking to me to speak for them today. I feel like it's very honest to say that home birth, out-of-hospital birth, birth center birth is not for everyone. I think that, as Tom Easterling of the University of Washington would say, the prime directive in caring for families is the maternal safety. Not only the actual safety, but the perceived safety. Where it is that a woman, a family, feels safe will serve her best. So my expectation is that every one of my home birth midwives, my birth center midwives in Washington State is providing safe care. They're screening appropriately, they're teaching appropriately, they're transferring appropriately, and they're supporting the midwifery model of care, which includes a mutual decision-making model. And so I feel like it's that model of care, the midwifery model, that's mutual decision-making, risk management, education, that people are mostly choosing. They want an experience.
Yeah. You mentioned that it's not for everybody. Like, who is it not for?
It's not for the people who are not interested in the journey. You know, last week you had a conversation here about language and sexism, and I called in because I wanted to talk about the difference between the way that we talk about giving birth and the way that we talk about the delivery, and how language in our country has really shifted towards the delivery. You delivered me. I delivered. I was delivered. All these things. You know, lies your parents told you, you were not delivered, honey. Some people are delivered, but
right.
Mostly people are, you know, their mothers gave birth to them. And so my job is not to deliver someone. My job is to attend them, to stand by them. I cannot guarantee that they will have the outcome they want, but I can guarantee that I will stand by their side and make it as possible. It's sort of like I'm sort of the guide that gets you to the top of the mountain.
So, how many children have you delivered, Valerie?
I think I'm roughly in the 800 range.
Wow.
Yeah.
Also with us in the studio, Dr. Joy Zia. She specializes in obstetrics and gynecology. How many children have you delivered, Dr. Zia?
It's probably close to 1,000, I'd say. And I haven't looked at the numbers. Once you get to a certain amount, you're just happy to do it. Yeah.
And for you, first of all, have you ever delivered a child in a home?
I have not, actually. Mm-hmm. So that's not an experience that I have. I actually had a little chat with Valerie outside, and it was actually very nice to meet her. We're very lucky in Washington State to even be having, you know, this kind of conversation in such a collaborative way, because we have great providers that, you know, actually can, you know, assess whether a patient is safe to deliver at home or not. Just kind of in addressing kind of the different things, we both just kind of believe it's really important that patients educate themselves on this. I really think, you know, that even all OB doctors, you know, we do recommend that a patient choose what's best for her, you know, even if a home birth isn't something necessarily that we perform or do, or, you know, in some cases, you know, even are able to, you know, support, you know, that they do have places to go where this is an environment where they can be safe.
What for you are the advantages or disadvantages of having your child at a hospital?
So I think, you know, again, it's a little bit different here in Washington than when you kind of read a lot of the national statistics and things. Like, we definitely have noticed that there's an increased amount of people that want to deliver at home. And so we have to look at that, like, why are patients wanting to do that? And again, it's because of that experience. You know, for a female, this is like a big deal. This is like one of the biggest moments of their life. It's when they're first giving, you know, birth to somebody that they're going to bond with and be with forever. And so, you know, patients are wanting that experience back. You know, I think a lot of fear comes from like back in like, you know, the old days, the, you know, the hospital is this really clinical, sterile environment. You know, these doctors are just, you know, around to kind of like do things to you, and patients don't want that. And so I think it's kind of nice to get that feedback that people are wanting more of that. And I think if you look at a maternity or birthing center at various different places in Washington, it doesn't look like that anymore. I mean, we do whatever we can to make it as much of a, you know, comfortable environment, a home, you know, as we can. While the advantage is being, you know, we talked about this, you know, patients that are higher risk, you definitely need to be in a place where you have more resources and more access to immediate care, such as, you know, if you do need the operating room, if you do need an epidural, if you do need those things, they're just closer by.
Mm-hmm. And how does it look different for someone who has not been in a room at a hospital where babies are born? How does it look different than it might have looked 10, 15 years ago?
I think the main difference are, you know, just the amenities. So definitely, you know, we have the bed. That's kind of normal. We have a hospital bed that kind of does all these little gadget little things. And then definitely you have kind of a sofa or, you know, couch for, you know, father. We've got rocking chair. We've got birthing balls. We have a jacuzzi at Swedish Ballard that patients can, you know, labor in if they need to. Shower, you know, kind of all the amenities of home that they can. I always encourage patients to bring whatever from home they want, you know, their favorite pillow or things like that, because we do want them to be comfortable. And we do want to, you know, let them have this process. You know, birth is a natural process, and we just want to be there to kind of help, like Valerie was saying, we want to be able to guide them through it.
And I'm being shown a picture now of a growing birth center. So it looks very nice. Looks just like a home. It's got a couch there. It's got a very nice warm lighting. Now, is this in a hospital? This
phone? No, that's not in a hospital. Okay. That's the Puget Sound Birth Center in Kirkland.
If you just tuned in, we're talking about home birth versus hospital births, and you were just listening to Dr. Joy Zia. She's at Swedish Hospital in Ballard, and also with us in the studio, Valerie Sasson, president of the Midwives Association of Washington State. And maybe this is a question that you're approaching, or maybe it's a decision that you have made, and you'd like to weigh in with some comments for people who are still wondering about it. We're at 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. It's toll-free, 800-289-5869, or write to us, conversation@kuow.org. Let's maybe start out by looking at we're going to go to best case scenarios. Let's look at worst case scenarios, though, because there are concerns in having a child and what's going to go on and what could possibly go wrong. Valerie, how are midwives prepared for an emergency situation? First of all, are they going to be aware that it's happening before it happens?
So, significant portion of our care is dedicated to both screening and education. So I like to say that women who are not as low risk as it's possible to be and as it's demonstrated to be don't get to walk into the birth center, nor will I come to your home. You know, so my job is to both educate people about their well-being throughout their pregnancy, but also to be screening. So we really offer every test there is. Everything from the blood work that you would get. The difference is that typically I draw the blood myself. You can lay on the bed and I'll draw your blood instead of having to go to the lab. Mm-hmm. And we have pretty ready access in the Puget Sound area to excellent ultrasound facilities. And so usually where I am, we'll get a great perinatal consult with our ultrasound. And so people are not so much in my community going on blind faith that everything will be well. You know, what's great about the Pacific Northwest is we love our adventure, but we also love our high tech, right? And so midwifery in this area is really a beautiful merger of those two things. You know, I want to climb to the top of Rainier, but I want my GPS, you know, and I want to have proven that my heart rate, you know, that I'm in excellent shape and all that kind of thing. And so really, I feel like that's what modern professional midwifery is. It's that combination of health and well-being and education, but also screening.
Dr. Zia mentioned that she hasn't done a home delivery.
Yeah.
You're a midwife. Have you ever been part of a delivery at a hospital?
Oh, certainly. All the time. Yeah. I did actually briefly, many of us had privileges briefly about 12 years ago at Providence First Hill before it was purchased by Swedish. And, you know, there are great numbers of nurse midwives in Washington State who are resident in hospitals. Most of the major hospitals have nurse midwifery practices there. The difference is that out-of-hospital midwives, licensed midwives in Washington State have a narrow scope of practice. We don't offer epidural. We're mostly out of hospital at this time. So promoting well-being, we do have emergency measures at the birth center and in our bags that go to home. We can resuscitate babies. We can provide IVs if we need to, antibiotics. We have medication to stop postpartum bleeding. So we are not flying bare without. It's not our hands only.
You've personally been involved in a lot of births and indirectly been connected with a lot more as president of the Midwives Association. Mm-hmm. Do you keep any numbers on how often it kind of gets out of hand and you have to get the mother to a hospital?
Oh, yeah. We keep stats in a variety of different ways. In fact, we've been involved recently in OB COPE, which we were invited as an association to participate alongside of a number of the larger area hospitals.
What's that mean, OB COPE?
OB COPE, it's a state data collection tool where every hospital is being accountable for their birth statistics, and the Midwives Association was invited as an entity to participate as well. So our statistics went straight up against theirs in the state.
So how often does it happen that something goes sideways and you need to rush that mom to a hospital?
In the midwifery community, our most common transfer from home or birth center to hospital is for a first-time mom with a crummy labor. You know, I like to say that pain with progress is doable. Mm-hmm. You know, it takes work. We're big on people eating and drinking and moving around because we're not necessarily preparing for surgery. Our C-section rate hovers 6-8% statewide. So eating, drinking, moving around, but still first-time moms have a hard time pushing babies out. So our most common transport is from first-time moms with a long and crummy labor.
You mentioned that percentage of cesareans. When you say 6-8%, is that amongst all births in the state?
No, that is just midwifery.
And this is one thing
center
that
and hospital birth.
Midwives
home
and
birth.
People involved in that and advocates for home birth has said one reason they like it is that there are a much lower percentage of cesarean births at home than there are in hospitals. And they see that as a good thing. What do you say about that, Dr. Zia?
Well, I say I hope that's true.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the whole point of kind of, you know, being assessed to be a good candidate for a home birth is that you should have a decreased risk of needing a cesarean section. I mean, that's kind of the hope, you know, of that's true. But I would caution patients, it's not because you're picking a home birth that you have a lower C-section rate. It's because you are qualified as someone who is lower risk of needing a C-section.
So people who might need a C-section would be screened out and wouldn't have a
Hopefully,
birth at home in the first
again,
place.
But again, you know, just kind of address what you were saying earlier.
Yeah.
It's like, what can go wrong? That's kind of the hard part about it. You know, like, birth is this beautiful natural process, and it should be, but part of that natural process are that things can go wrong, you know, which could be the death of a baby or of a mom. And so kind of, you know, one of the things when we kind of talk about home birth or not is that, you know, you really have to educate yourself and kind of know what those risks are. And there are certain things that, you know, even with, you know, the best care and best intentions, if I had a crystal ball and I could tell you for sure that you're going to have this normal vaginal delivery, you know, of course home birth would okay. And, you know, majority of the times they do go fine. But there are those times, you know, when that doesn't happen. You know, there are kind of catastrophic things that occur, such as, you know, cord prolapse or, you know, placental abruption or, you know, things you can't account for. A baby who's, you know, not tolerating labor and, you know, that time and transport to and from the hospital, that's kind of the issue, is that, you know, you can lose a baby in that time.
The rap against hospital births is that doctors are often too quick to order a cesarean. Do you think that's a justified criticism?
I really think that has to do with kind of just looking at really national kind of numbers. You know, my experience, you know, is mostly in, you know, I've been trained in Hawaii, you know, Portland, Oregon, and then here in Washington. These are kind of really supportive states. And actually, me and Valerie do want to talk about it. It's really about the screening and then collaborating. I mean, really feeling that those patients, they know that when they come to the hospital, it is not my intention to do every intervention I have for them. You know, interventions can save lives, but that is not my intention. My intention is to kind of assess them, kind of give them what their options are, what, you know, is available to them to either help them along with their labor or with mm-hmm. their pain or with their baby. I'm never going to, you know, make a patient do any of these things. And I want them to feel we want them to feel comfortable, you know, coming to the hospital. You know, I've told patients who, you know, who want to have a home birth, like, please go tour the hospital. There's, you know, and Valerie can speak to this, there is a chance. You know, when they kind of look at planned home birth versus actual home birth, there's a difference in that number. Not everybody who plans a home birth has that. There's a good chance you'll be transferred, and that's a good thing. You know, right. I want you to feel comfortable that you can get transferred and get the help you need early. I don't want people scared to come to the hospital. That's really important.
We're talking about home birth versus birth in a hospital, and Dan's on the line. He's giving us a call today from Kenmore. Dan, what happened with you?
Hey, my wife had actually a really good pregnancy. Everything was normal. Baby grew perfect. We delivered in Evergreen, at Evergreen in Woodinville, and everything was great right up until delivery time. Her blood pressure skyrocketed, so they induced her a little early. Baby was perfectly normal until she came out and our daughter was not breathing, and they could not resuscitate her immediately. She had to be rushed to the NICU.
I'm sorry.
And it was a scary couple of hours that just did not seem to go by. She's fine now, and she's a year old, but without that immediate intervention, then we would have been without our daughter.
Had you considered a home birth, Dan, and were you advised against it? Or
No, yeah. We did not, actually. Yeah. it's funny. My wife and I talked about it for a moment, but when we were talking about it, I cannot remember her name, this advocate for home pregnancies had a home pregnancy and her child died because of almost the same issue. And so we decided against it on our own. We weren't advised against
right.
it. It was just a decision that we made.
Well, a scary moment, but I'm glad it turned out okay for you, Dan.
Yeah, well, thank you. Hey, have a great day.
You too. Valerie?
Dan, this is Valerie. I just want to say that blood pressure issues in pregnancy and labor are a reason to transport to hospital. An out-of-hospital birth midwife would have transferred your wife into hospital prior to your daughter's birth. So I am very relieved to hear that she was born at the hospital, and Evergreen is a wonderful facility. I am in their backyard at the Puget Sound Birth Center in Kirkland, so I am relieved to know that she's well, but I need to reassure you that blood pressure issues are a very clear indication for transfer in labor.
Dan, thanks a lot for your phone call. Let's go to Pamela, who's in Tacoma today, and you're her midwife. You must remember Pamela from Tacoma. Pamela, thanks for calling.
Hi. Yeah, Valerie delivered my baby, or with my midwife and support. And my baby was Joshua, Valerie. I don't know if you remember, because 800-plus births, I get it. You know, I wanted to make clear a benefit of home birth or birth center birth that I just haven't heard mentioned, and that is how incredibly empowering it is for the mother, for the woman, to have this experience and to go through it on her own, naturally, enduring the pain and preparing for the strengths that are needed as a mother ahead. Psychologically, and I'm a psychologist, knowing that you have gotten through natural birth with support, of course, emotionally, but knowing that pretty much you have done this, it gives you the perspective that you are superwoman, that you have the ability to do what it takes to be an excellent mother. And it is so uplifting and so joyful.
Yeah.
And I wanted to say that I know many, many mothers who, every one of them, these are friends of mine, clients of mine, everyone wants a natural birth. But if they plan to deliver in the hospital, virtually all of them end up with medication or C-sections, and it's because of the environment.
Yeah.
I know it's not true in every situation, but what I hear from clients and friends is that they're offered medication for pain, and their pain level is checked and talked about continually, instead of being told, you can do this. It hurts, but you are an amazing woman. You are strong enough to get through this, because birth hurts. But in the hospital, you're encouraged that you need the medication or that it's a good thing to take it. Whereas in a birth center, you are told you can do this. And if there's no contraindication medically, every woman can have this incredible, empowering experience.
Pamela, thank you so much for calling and sharing your experience with us.
Yes, Pamela, thank you.
We're going to have to leave it there for now. Of course, a lot of unanswered questions. And as both of our guests, Valerie Sasson, president of the Midwives Association, and Dr. Joy Zia from Swedish Hospital have said, the important thing is to get people to learn about your own situation before you go ahead and make this very, very important decision. Thanks to both of you for coming in.
Thank you very much, Ross.
From KUOW, I'm Ross Reynolds.